This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
Awesome. Well, if I haven't had the chance to meet you, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And as we come together today, if you've ever been a part of the Sunday after Labor Day here at Hoboken Grace, you know that this is kind of our State of the Union conversation. Not in a political perspective, no, like our union, this union. And one of the things that God says about our family is that we are a family, that we are connected, that we are united. And so one of the things that we love to do as we move into the fall is we like to just kind of give an update on, okay, where are we and kind of what's ahead. Now, obviously, you know we have a lot that's going to be coming up as we move into the next few weeks. So I want to talk through some of the details of that as well. But first, I just want to share with you kind of what we've experienced this past year. And as we look at this past year, it's been amazing to see what God has done. Over the course of this last year, since last September, we've had over 1,000 first-time guests inside of our services. Some of you are part of that number. And one of the amazing things that God has allowed us to do is just be able to connect with more and more of our neighbors, more and more of our friends, family members, and to see them take that step into community. In addition to that, we've had over 200 first-time guests since we moved into this space, which is crazy. That's just, you don't typically have that during August. It's not usually when you see your first-time guest numbers spike, but obviously with the addition of new space, that's changed things a little bit for us. In addition to that, we're currently, as you move through the month of August, not only did we see 200 first-time guests, we averaged over 900 people inside of our space as we moved through the month of August. One of the things that I'm really excited about is that we have consistently, and this is something that we've seen ever since 2020, our team's number has just consistently been growing. We have just under 500 people who serve on a team here at Hoboken Grace. That number I love. If you go back to 2020, that number was around 250. So that's almost doubled since that point. And we've seen more and more and more people get connected. And I know a lot of you have gotten connected even over the course of the last 6 weeks. And I just want to encourage you in that. You have no idea how God is using you. And sometimes people will ask me, they'll say, well, how many people are on your staff? And I say, that's not really the most important number. What you really need to know is how many volunteers it takes to do what we do. And on any given week, we have around 230 to 240 people who serve. So it's not just that you have 500 people who are on a team, but you have about half of those serve every single week. And that's incredible. All of the people who are saying, no, I want to help people find their way back to God. I want to give of my time. I want to give of my talents. I want to give the best of what I have to be able to help people find their way back to Him. In addition to that, not only do we see just under 500 serving, we have over 550 that are active in groups. That is a tremendous number of people who are involved in community. And you hear the story there. And there's just so many of you that are stepping into that. And I want to let you know, if you're not inside of a group, you are missing out. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. And then finally, one of the things that we celebrate over and over again, we've had 36 baptisms this year. What an incredible celebration to see people stepping into proclaiming their faith. We have more in just a couple weeks that are going to be taking place here. And so make sure that you're part of that. I mean, it's been an unbelievable year to be able to see how we've been able to impact people in so many different ways and the steps that people have taken as we've moved through this year. And then as you look towards the future, we have so much coming up. As a matter of fact, go ahead and pull out your phone. Go ahead and pull out your phone, because I want to just walk you through this. Some of you have heard us talk about it, and you never check it, so I'm just going to have you do it with me, because it seems like that's the only way it's going to happen. So here's what I want for you to do. Pull out your phone, open the app, and we're just going to walk through our events. Sometimes I tell our staff, I say, you know, I feel like we need a second service every week just to tell people what's happening. And we don't want to be able to take up the whole service with that. And so typically we just kind of mention it. We put dates up on the wall and we hope that you check it. But I want to be able to walk you through what's coming up, beginning with, and this is another thing that you'll be able to, I doubt they have today's story on the app yet. They probably don't have it up yet. But if you want to be able to see that story without it glitching every 2 seconds, some of you are watching like, oh, what's happening? It was happening in my head too. But if you want to watch it without that, it will be available on the app and you can hear that story without being distracted. But as we move into today, our groups are launching. All of our dinner groups are open. We have new groups that are launching. Make sure that you're part of one of those groups. You do not want to walk through the fall alone. I'm telling you that right now. You've heard us talk about this new home conversation. Next week, when we launch this series, we're going to be walking through the story of the prodigal son in a way that I've never walked through it before. And we're talking about, okay, how God creates home for us and those things that keep us from home. And so you don't want to walk through that alone. We can't be talking about family and you're experiencing that individually. It's got to be part of community. And so I want to make sure that you are part of one of those groups so that you can experience family, not just talk about, not just learn about family as we move through the fall. On the homepage of the app, you can see join a group. It's right there. Now, go ahead and click into events because I want to talk you through some of what's happening here. One of the first ones that you're going to see when it comes on upcoming events is the ribbon cutting. So Tuesday, we're going to have our ribbon cutting here at the space. It's going to be at 10 o'clock. Now, I know a lot of you are at work during that time, but I also know a lot of you don't go to work anymore. And so I want to invite you, if you can, to be here for that. You say, well, I've already seen the space. I know it's not really for you to be able to see the space, but we're gonna have a lot of city council members here. I think the mayor's gonna be here. A lot of the blogs from the area are gonna be here. And so I want for us to be able to let them see a little bit of our family that morning. So if you can be here for that event, be here. And just do what you do when you're on the golf course. Just have the call in your ear and you'll be fine. So the ribbon cutting is on Tuesday, and then you've got team onboard, which for those of you who have joined a team, this is the beginning, kind of your orientation to what it means to serve here at Hoboken Grace. I teach team onboard. If you're not a part of a team, you can still come to team onboard, and we'll get you connected to a team. We'll get you plugged into a team, and then you've got a couple of other things that are happening this week. I definitely want to jump past apple picking because all of you know how I feel about apple picking, and I don't know how it keeps making the list. But on the 17th, we have the grand opening. Now, that's where we're launching a new home, that new conversation. And I'm telling you, if you have people who have questions about faith, who even if you have people in your life that are struggling with the idea of God or angry about God, this is a great conversation for people who are angry with God. Because I think there's really no story that Jesus tells in his entire time with his disciples. There's no story that he tells that captures how God wants to create home. And I don't even know if there's another story that captures the heart of the Father like the prodigal son. And so as we walk through that, we want to be able to introduce that to your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. So make sure that you invite them to be part of that. And then as we move through the week, what we're trying to do is we're trying to feature all the different things that are possible inside of this space. And so we have an event every single week. Doesn't mean you have to be at all the events, but they are events that you can point your neighbors to or the people that you're inviting to be part of that Sunday too as well. So on Monday, we have our story hour. This is a really cool thing that we've already begun. You heard me talk about it last week. We had like 120 people at the first one. And Kelsey, who does our announcements every week and is amazing and so engaging, she turns out she might be the best children's book reader you've ever seen in your life. Like the reading was for kids. She's reading a kid's book and this, and our staff was all enamored. Like all of them were sitting there like, what happens next? So it's an awesome opportunity for you to be able to, and that's during the day, so that's for preschoolers and for moms and nannies and all of that, for people to be here for that space. And then on Tuesday, our theater is going to be fully functioning, so we have movie night. We're doing The Dark Knight this week. Some of you, we're just going like super classics recently, but it turns out that we're right on schedule because they're actually sending The Dark Knight into the movie theaters again. I don't know if you know that, but we're like, oh, we're going to send it into our movie theater too. And so that's going to be available on Tuesday for you to be able to invite. If you haven't experienced the movie theater yet, whether that's on a Sunday morning or whether that is on one of our movie nights, you have to experience it. It's awesome. It's an incredible experience. We showed Jurassic Park was one of the first ones, and I took my boys, and they had nightmares for weeks. It was incredible. Like, if you've ever seen Jurassic Park in a theater, it changes the whole dynamic of it. So that's on Tuesday. Then Wednesday, we've got this really cool thing called Nonprofit Night. And basically, we're bringing in a bunch of our partners and nonprofits from all throughout the community, and they're going to be down in Theater 2. And it's going to feature all the different ways that you can volunteer. And this is open to the community. As a matter of fact, I think the city's actually communicating this out to invite people in, like, okay, these are all the different nonprofits. And one of the things we've said from the beginning is that we want this to be a space for nonprofits. And we want this to be a space that they can not just use, but also a space from which they can engage the community. So they're going to be here, feature what they do, how you can get involved in what they do. And so that's going to be on Wednesday night at 7. On Thursday, Vibe kicks off. Vibe is our student ministry. And so some of the Vibe kids are in here, and they're louder than that usually, I can tell you, if you show up on a Thursday. But they're launching, and we're incredibly excited about that. I don't think we have video of it yet, but we're going to get video of it soon for you to be able to see what's taking place inside of the Vibe space. One of the really cool things that we've been able to add since we moved to the space for our students is worship. And so they have music and worship every week, which they didn't have when we were at 301 Garden Street. And that's both a combination of like recorded music and live music. So it's really, really cool what's happening there. That's kicking off on Thursday. On Friday, we have another movie we're going to be utilizing in the theater. It's going to be an after-school movie. So this is going to be at like 3:30 for families to be able to attend. And then on Saturday, we have a workout class, which is another thing. If you pay attention to those events, we've had one almost every single week since we've been inside the space. Those are just free classes for you to be able to come and do what I guess some people like to do. But not so much me. And when you look at all of these events and then you see what we're doing throughout the week, I want to reiterate something. We're going to talk a little bit more about this as we go on, but I just want to reinforce this. This is not just cool events for our church to do. This isn't like, oh, let's do cool events because we have the space. No, that's not what it is. You guys have heard us use this terminology forever. These are connection events. In other words, they're opportunities for you to be able to build bridges with people who are not yet part of our family. They're opportunities for you to be able to invite people to come to something and for them. And really what we're trying to do with connection points or connection events is that we're trying to help your friends realize the rest of us aren't weird. That's the ultimate goal of a connection event. Is invite your friend to meet all of your friends at church because they think all your friends at church are weird, and hopefully we're not. And hopefully they'll see that we're not, and they say, oh, wow, these are actually cool people, and I could actually show up on a Sunday and not feel really, really, really nervous. And if you've ever walked into a church for the first time, you know, if you don't know anybody, it's really, really intimidating. I had a conversation with someone the other day, and they said that they drove around the building for 4 weeks. For 4 weeks before they actually parked and walked in. And it was the summer, so it wasn't that they couldn't find parking. Like, we've had that because of parking before, but that wasn't it. But it's really intimidating to walk into a church for the first time. And if you know one person, it's a little bit better. If you know multiple people, it changes the whole dynamic. It changes your entire experience. You're not coming in and sitting at the back trying to find, where's that one person that I know? But when you walk in, you're like, oh, I met so-and-so before. Oh, hey. And it changes the whole dynamic of your experience when you walk in. And so make sure that you take advantage of those connection events to be able to build those bridges. And as we move through that week, we have so much going on. And then, but I'm not done yet. You say, well, that's the end of the week. It is. But then you have the coffee crawl, which is how you recover from the cardio with Kelsey. And then on the 24th, we launch Equip. Now, this is something new that we are doing that we have never done before. Now, what's taking place on Equip Night is not necessarily new. So these are our Equip classes or our growth classes. So this is how we're trying to equip you to pursue Jesus better, equip you to serve better, equip you to love better, all of these things. All of these classes typically took place on different nights at different times. And so you heard us talk about Financial Peace University's launching, and it's going to be on Thursday night and such and such. And you're trying to keep up with all that. So what we did, because of now we have the space, is we took all of our Equip classes and we brought them together on one night. So all of them are going to be taking place on Sunday night inside of this space. We did that to be able to make things a little bit easier as far as you trying to figure out, when does that actually happen? When do I sign up for it? And try to eliminate some of that confusion. The other reason we did it is so that we could have childcare. So that as a parent and as a couple, it used to always be, as a parent, like, well, he's going to go this week, and I'm going to sign up next time, and you're trying to coordinate. Now you can go together. And so as you look at that Equip, you say, well, what happens? What are the Equip classes? Let me just let you know what they are. So the first one is something called Financial Peace University. And Financial Peace University is something that is core to what we do here at Hoboken Grace. This is not supplemental to what we do. It's actually essential to what we do because we understand if we're going to follow Jesus well inside of our culture, we have to know how to handle finances in a godly way. We have to. God has given us inside of our culture, God has given us as a family, phenomenal resources, more than most of the world. And so it's incredibly significant that we know how to be able to manage those resources well. Whatever gift God has given you, you need to learn how to be able to steward it. And one of the gifts that we have been given is financial wealth. And as you move through our family, God has given that to us significantly. So we have a responsibility. We have to know how to manage that. We have to know how to be able to steward the gift that God has given us. And so Financial Peace University is critical to that. And this is, sometimes people hear that like, oh, it's a giving. No, it's a stewardship class. It's about, okay, how do you steward and manage your finances in a way that honors God and allows you to be able to use the gift that he's given you for the mission that he's called you to. And so as you look at that Equip Night, one of the classes that's going to be taking place is Financial Peace University. If you haven't taken that, you need to take it. And I actually encourage people to take it multiple times, especially if you go through a change in life. So if you go through a change in life and or a season in life, so maybe you got a new job and or maybe you moved to a different career, or especially if you get married, you need to take Financial Peace University. And even if you both took it individually, you need to take it together. You need to take it together so that you're on the same page as it pertains to that. We have two classes that are specific to marriage. One of them is a class called Merge, or an experience called Merge. This is our premarital experience. And you'll be able to walk through, it's 6 weeks where we talk about, okay, what's kind of foundational and what's fundamental to how you love well as you step into this relationship. And so if you're thinking about getting engaged, if you are engaged, you definitely need to take this. If you just got married, you need to take this. If you've been married for a long time, don't take it. It's just going to make you feel bad. But no, I'm kidding. But if you've been married for a long time, we actually have something else for you. It's called Re-Engage. So Re-Engage is okay, how do I grow? How do I take my marriage to the next level? This is, and it really, it's amazing how the experience works, because it really is, if you're struggling, it's okay, how do we get out of that struggle? Even if your marriage, you're like, I feel like we're in a good place. It's okay, how do we take that next step forward as a couple? How do we grow in our ability to be able to love one another? Because we know Jesus has told us, Jesus has told us, and we talked about this several months ago. He says, your defining characteristic is love. This is how they're going to know that you're my disciples, is how you love one another. So the world should look at us and say, how do you love? Because you're the ones who are supposed to know. If people read Scripture, if someone who's not a believer reads Scripture and reads what Jesus says, they should come to us and say, how do you love? Because Jesus says, you're the ones who are going to know. And so one of the things that we do with these classes, and we're looking at, okay, how do we get better and better at doing that? In addition to that, we have starting point. And starting point is for those who have questions about faith, looking at, okay, let me phrase it this way. It's both for individuals who are working through questions about faith themselves, and also a really good resource for those who want to be able to answer their friends' questions about faith. It's a really good resource if you're having conversations with your coworkers and your friends, you're like, I don't really know how to answer that question. I don't really know how to engage that conversation. Starting Point is a really good resource for that, because you're going to walk through those questions, and you're also going to be establishing really this really strong foundation for your faith and an understanding of the story that God's been telling. And okay, well, how does the biblical narrative answer or speak to those questions? And so Starting Point is another thing that's going to be available there as well. And so as we move into 24th, those are going to be launching. Many of you are already registered to be part of that, but I want to encourage you, as you hear that, if God's like, man, I want for you to take a step of growth here, make sure that you sign up for that as well. And in addition, as I mentioned earlier, we do have childcare that is available for that. Some of you went to register and you're like, oh, you're charging for childcare. We are going to charge. We're going to ask that you help out with that as we move through that. We're charging $50 a semester. So for 2 cents a day, you can have childcare for the fall. It's just a little something to be able to help our team as we are looking at, okay, how we build out this whole new team and everything that goes into that. So I wanted to walk you through that because I wanted to make sure that you understood what's happening and all that's available as we move into this fall. And I hope that you will take advantage of those opportunities. One of the things that I tell our team all the time is that we get to create experiences and opportunities for people to grow, but it's really up to you whether or not you're going to grow. It's really up to you whether or not you're going to take the step. It's really up to you whether or not you're going to pursue him. We talk every week about how he's pursuing you, but it's up to you about whether or not you're going to pursue him and take advantage of those opportunities. And so I hope that you'll do that, because, again, let me just reiterate. Life isn't found in the things that we talked about. Life isn't found in these events. Life isn't found in, how do I make sure I'm part of this, and go into this event and this? No, but we do know one thing. Life is found in Jesus. And the more we do to experience more of him, the more life we'll find. And all of this, all of what we're doing, all of what we've planned and put together, all of it is about helping people experience Jesus. It's about making sure that as you move through this fall, that you experience Jesus. And it's been amazing to me how God's just been really pretty intentional with me about this. He just keeps pushing this. Last week we had the conversation encountering Jesus. If you weren't here with us, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. We talked about, okay, how are you coming to Jesus? But he's just put this really heavy on my heart of okay, this, as we move into this fall, the focus is experiencing him. Experiencing him. And so as we talk to these events, I want to take you really quickly to something that we mention every week, but we don't necessarily have a specific time that we call out in the service for it. And so sometimes I feel like it can get lost. And I'll occasionally ask our first impressions team to ask them, like, okay, are people actually taking advantage of the tables that are around the room, or are they not taking advantage of them? And like, how many people are taking advantage of those tables as we move through a Sunday? And one of the things that I know is that we'll talk about the significance of those tables, and then a couple of months will go by, and all of a sudden the number of people who are actually utilizing that begins to decrease. And so as we go into this fall, I want to talk to you about this, because I think this is one of the really significant ways that we experience Jesus. And I think that this is really significant in making sure that as you come into this space on a consistent basis, that you're actually experiencing him while you're here. Because, and we talk about this with silence, the songs are great. The songs are great, the conversation, but here's the thing. That's not really what it's about. The songs are not about the songs. They're not about, man, I love music and I love singing and this is the only place where I get to come sing. No, the songs are about experiencing Jesus. And even like, it's been interesting because this morning I felt like we were the closest that we have been in terms of our sound levels and all of the things. And you say, oh, it's because you want it to sound good. No, it's because I want everything else to fade away and for all of it to become a distraction so that we can completely focus on experiencing Jesus. And as we come into each week, I want to make sure that that's a consistent experience for you. And so there's something that we do, and maybe you've heard us talk about it before, maybe you haven't. You've definitely heard us mention it. But it comes from something that Jesus does with his disciples. And then Paul actually, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, says, okay, this is something you need to consistently do. And this is not just something that Jesus demonstrated and that Jesus in a moment kind of mentioned, like, hey, do this, you know, in remembrance. But Paul says, no, Jesus reiterated this to me. This is something that is a consistent practice for the church as you're coming together and as you're pursuing him. So let me take you this passage. You see part of it every week as we come together up on the screen, but I want to remind us of what we do and why we do it. It says this. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. For I received from the Lord, but I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so Paul says, listen, not only did Jesus do this with his disciples, and he kind of mentioned to them, maybe you read in the Gospels or in John's account that he said, do this, you know, when you guys are together. He said, but I want you to understand when Jesus reiterated to me, this is something that needs to be a consistent practice for you. And many of us have seen it or heard of it, this idea of communion or the Lord's Supper. But I just want to reiterate as we move into this fall, the significance of this. And again, we don't call out a specific time for it in the service. And maybe we need to so that more people will consistently do this. We'll see, like, if we aren't doing it well, we probably will make that shift because it really is important. It's really important. And Jesus says one of the things, because Jesus knows this about you, right? And your friends know this about you. Your roommate definitely knows this about you. Your parents know this about you. You have this massive problem. And you probably forgot you have this problem because your problem is that you forget. You forget. A little bit ago, I said, you know, we talked about how we come to Jesus last week, and you guys were like, oh my goodness, that's right. We did talk about that last week. Why? Because you didn't remember it after like 3 o'clock on Sunday. You'd already forgotten. You forget. All of us do. It's one of our greatest disabilities, but it's typical, and so we don't think that much about it. But Jesus knows you forget. And so he says to his disciples, he says, this is something I want you to do over and over and over again because I want you to remember. And he says, I don't just want you to remember what I taught. I don't just want you to remember me in a song. No, I want for you specifically, consistently to remember that my body was shredded for you. I want for you to consistently remember that the payment and the death that you deserved, I took for you. I want for you to consistently remember that my blood was shed so that you could be washed clean. I want for you to remember that over and over and over and over again, because I know you forget. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. We think guilt changes people. Fundamentally, at the core of who we are, we believe this. We believe guilt changes people. So when someone does something wrong, we think it's our responsibility to make them feel really bad. That's how it works, right? Like, if you're gonna help someone not do something again, then you have to make them feel really bad, and then we do this to ourselves. Like, I did something wrong, so now I'm gonna make myself feel really bad for a long time, and I don't know how long I have to make myself feel bad, but I'm gonna do that, and because we think that guilt changes people. But Jesus doesn't believe that. Jesus believes that grace changes people. Jesus believes that fundamentally the only way that you can change is through the power of his Spirit that you receive when you place your faith in him. And through consistently growing in your experience and understanding of his grace. And so Jesus calls you to remember, not just so that you can understand the significance of it. And this is why the rest of the passage is significant. Because as he calls them to do that, he continues and he says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. And he says, I want for you to do this. He says, but I want for you to do it in the right way. And then he says this. He says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. He says, I don't want you to just do this, but I also want to I want for you to examine yourself before you do it. Why? Why? Now, if you've heard me talk about this before, you've heard me share, when I was growing up, it was, well, you needed to examine yourself and see if you did a good enough job that week, and if you did a good enough job, then you could take it. And this is one of the reasons why we do communion the way that we do it, because the way that we do it, you can't really know who does or who doesn't, because I've been in churches where, you know, you have it where everybody comes forward to take communion, and I've been in churches where I wasn't allowed to take communion, and so I had to like shuffle out of the row with everyone and then stand at the end while everyone walked past me to go take communion. They're like, oh, we know who's going to hell. So I've experienced that with communion, and then I've also experienced like where you're passing it and everybody's kind of watching like down the row like, oh, Sarah didn't take it today. Must have had a bad week. I wonder what she did. So we try to be really where no one really knows. But if that means that no one does, then we're being disobedient to what Jesus has called us to do, and so we'll change it. But as you come to this, he says, I want for you to examine. There's no way you should ever examine your week and think that you did a good enough job to be able to deserve the body and blood of Christ. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. So he's not calling them to examine whether or not they're good enough. He's calling them to examine themselves so that they realize they don't deserve it. And then realize that it's still available to them. The only unworthy way to take communion is if you take it thinking you're worthy. Communion is a consistent experience of grace. It It's Jesus over and over and over again reminding you of what it is that allows you to be forgiven, reminding you and calling you to examine, no, I don't deserve to be invited to the table. And yet Jesus says, come. Come. And Jesus says, I don't just want you to do this occasionally. I want you to do this consistently. Why? Because you forget. And you need grace. And the only hope that we have of being able to love better is through the power of His Spirit and the constant reminder in our lives of His grace. Because Jesus doesn't want us to white-knuckle our way to moralism. He wants us to fall in love with Him. So much so that we trust Him about what leads to life and what leads to death. And so I want, as we enter this fall, I just want to encourage you right now, and the band's going to come back up in just a second, but as we move through the rest of this service, to not just look at, okay, well, how do I do this today? But specifically to think through, okay, when am I going to do that when I show up here on Sunday? What is my routine going to look like as I show up here on Sunday? And making sure that you build it into your routine. And you have a routine. I see it. Most of you never miss the donuts. It's like that's never been a problem. You hit that table every time. Every time. So what does that look like? What is that going to look like for you? Maybe it's during the first song, or maybe it's during silence that you're going to go. But what is it? Don't just think about it as a moment like today. Think about it as a routine. How am I going to make sure that I'm consistently remembering? Why? So that you consistently experience Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. Will you pray with me? Father, it's unbelievable what you've made possible through your Son. And Jesus, we want collectively this morning to say, we love you. We are so indebted to you. We not only remember, but we celebrate you and the fact that you took the death that we deserve. I pray that today, and maybe you're here today and you hear us talking about this, but you've never trusted Him without. I want to encourage you to take communion today for the first time as an act of faith, as an acceptance of the body that was broken for you and the blood that was shed for you to be forgiven. And maybe this morning is your first experience of a lifetime of grace. I pray that there would be those who do this, Father, for the first time. I pray that there would be those who say, no, I want to consistently. I want to make sure I prioritize this in my rhythms so that I never forget the incredible grace that we drowned in. In Jesus' name, amen.